Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled some of my lists from last year and rolled them all into one episode here. Today's episode is going to be the Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champions, the Trop 5 Baseball Players Who Never Won Championships, and the Trop 5 Baseball Players Not in the Hall of Fame. So take me out to the ball game, y'all. Listen, so I'm going to end up doing the Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champs. And when I did my research, it's crazy because there's only been 14 teams to ever go back-to-back. Now, a few of the teams that I mentioned, they won more than two in a row. So, it's crazy that happened at any point. But it's also crazy just how this never happens, really. And then also of note, six out of those 14 times, the New York Yankees did it. So basically, I could have done a top five list with an honorable mention and just ranked all these Yankees teams, but I didn't do that because a lot of those Yankees teams were like from 1905 or whatever, and so we don't really want to talk about times that far, even though I will say there is one Yankees team on here that's from a time before a lot of us listening, I imagine. So let me go ahead and kick it off with the Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champs. Number five, the Toronto Blue Jays, 1992 and 1993. This team had Roberto Alomar, Joe Carter, Dave Winfield, Ricky Henderson. I mean, those are some perennial players right there, some of the greatest of all time. They in 1992, they beat the Atlanta Braves, won the series 4-2. And then in 1993, they beat the Philadelphia Phillies. They won that series 4-2 as well. And they were just, when you look at them, they were just a stacked team. And the teams that they beat were actually really good as well. So, this was Toronto Blue Jays, by the way. This was the first MLB team to ever win a championship, not within the U.S. That was a big deal. But this was a spectacular team. And that's why they went back-to-back. Then number four on my Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champs, I have the Cincinnati Reds. They won in 1975 and 1976. This was the team that Pete Rose played for, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench. That's just a couple of Hall of Fame players to name off. Well, Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, we all know he's a Hall of Fame player. He's just not in there due to basically a technicality, but we all know that he was one of the greatest players of all time, regardless of being put in the Hall of Fame. But anyways, this team was great, and they were just a scrappy ass team. And man, just watching some of their highlights is crazy. Especially Pete Rose, that guy was such a fucking asshole. But he must have been really fun to watch in real time. So in 1975, they beat the Boston Red Sox. They won that series 4-3. And then 1976, they beat the New York Yankees, and they swept the New York Yankees. And just yet again, this was another great team. They were, you know, Cincinnati is not like, I mean, they are a big baseball team. That's for damn sure. But they're not like a nationally known team, especially these days. But this team was just lights out. They played great baseball. Like I said, they were scrappy. Pete Rose was a total fucking asshole, just barreling into people like he was Ty Cobb, I swear, man. They must have been really fun to watch. So they're number four on my Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champs. And it makes sense why they were repeat champs, that's for sure. Number three on my Trop 5 Greatest MLB Repeat Champs, I have the New York Yankees. This was a 1998 through 2000 run. This was the most recent, this was actually technically the last repeat champs as well in baseball. They actually won three in a row. And like I said, last time that we had a repeat champ. So 2000, when they won in 2000, it's been 22 years since we have had a repeat champ in baseball. So we're long overdue.
Anyways, back to this Yankees team. They had Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada, Andy Pettit. You know, this was that. This team was stacked. And I'm not going to lie, I loved this team. I totally enjoyed the shit out of this team. I'm a huge Derek Jeter fan, one of my favorite baseball players of all time. And just the way that they played the game, you know, that this was in the time period when they won the ALCS against the A's, and that crazy game saving play by Derek Jeter. So they won their first of their three championships in 1998 when they swept the San Diego Padres. Then in 1999 they swept the Atlanta Braves, and then in 2000 they beat the New York Mets 4-1 in that series. And that was a big deal, because obviously you've got two New York teams going up against each other in the World Series. But man, the Yankees just owned it. And really, even beyond that season, because they lost in 2001, right? I'm pretty sure that was the year they lost the stupid goddamn Arizona Diamondbacks. Man, I remember watching that World Series too. It was actually kind of funny watching that World Series, because I remember it was me and one girlfriend of mine, and then we were hanging out with two guys, and it was so funny because the two girls, me and my friend, we were the ones who were way more into the baseball game than the two guys. They didn't even like know what the fuck was going on. It was just so hilarious. But I remember we were watching the last game of the series when the Yankees lost. And when they lost, her and I were so fucking pissed off, and the guys could not believe it. And I'm just like staring at them like, do we need to like get you some panties? Because you guys don't give a shit about baseball, and the two girls are going nuts here. Like, you guys look like some bitches right now. So yeah, I do remember that that World Series like vividly, just mainly because of that reason. But I just loved this Yankees team, and so they're number three. And if they're number three, who the hell are number one and two? Well, these two top two teams, number one, it had to be number one in my opinion. So when I get there, I'll explain why, and you'll know why, because the amount of championships they won in a row is mind-boggling. But let's move on to number two on my top five greatest MLB repeat champs, and that would be the Oakland A's from 1972 to 1974. They won three championships in a row, and they were just one of the most dominating teams at the time. You know, they had Reggie Jackson, who... Reggie Jackson is one of the greatest players of all time. He's one of those players whenever I get around to ranking the baseball players, the legendary baseball players that I did not get to see that I wish I could have seen, Reggie Jackson is probably, he's definitely going to be in top five. I don't know if he's number one, but he might be number one. Watching highlights of his and just what type of a player he was, I wish I could have seen him play. And then they also had the amazing pitcher Raleigh Fingers, and they were just a great freaking team, and they beat some great teams along the way to win three World Series in a row. Starting with 1972, they beat the Cincinnati Reds in a series 4-3. And by the way, that was basically before that Reds team, because you know the Reds team that I just mentioned. They were 1975 and 1976, so the Reds had to go through this A's team before they could get to a championship level. And then in 1973, the A's beat the New York Mets. They won that series 4-3, and then in 1974, they beat the Dodgers. They won that series 4-1, and they just were a dominating team. And it was tough because I wanted to put that Yankees team above them, but I really honestly couldn't, just because of the teams that they beat along the way. Whereas, you know, the Yankees, I mean, beating the Padres, to even though that Padres team was a good team, obviously you're a good team since you made it to the World Series, but come on, it was the Padres. they ain't blowing you out of the water. But, you know, the A's had was a really good team. And then so number one on my top five greatest MLB repeat champs, the New York Yankees from 1949 to 1953, they won five championships in a row. There was no way I couldn't put that team at number one. I actually think there was another time where they won like four or five in a row. It was actually really difficult, other than this Yankees team, to kind of like parse out like what Yankees teams that I'm going to put in here, because I'm not going to make it all Yankees teams. This team had to go on there. They were number one as soon as I looked at who was on the team. This team had Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra. Those are three of the greatest baseball players of all time. Not just greatest Yankees, greatest baseball players of all time. So I can't even imagine getting to watch this team play. But they started their runoff in 1949 against the Los Angeles, or actually, no, they were not Los Angeles at that time. They were Brooklyn, I believe. So yeah, they were the Brooklyn Dodgers at that time. They beat them 4-1. Then in 1950, they beat the Philadelphia Phillies. They swept them. Then in 1951, they beat the Giants. They beat them. They won that series 4-2. Then in 1952, they beat the Dodgers again. They won that series 4-3. And then in 1953, they beat the Dodgers again and won that series 4-2. So yeah, there was no way I couldn't put that team at number one. So that's my top five greatest MLB repeat champs of all time. We'll see if the Atlanta Braves can become the 15th team to do that. Like I said, I believe they can do it. They only got better this offseason. I feel like the only way they don't go back is if they get in their own way or injuries, of course. So we'll see if they get there. But I definitely think they can. And like I said, looking over the 14 teams that have done that, it's crazy to think, especially like you wouldn't expect to see teams like the Blue Jays and the Reds on there. Especially if you're like a recent baseball fan, because both of those teams aren't known for being good or for winning or even having halfway decent players on the teams. But they were great repeat champs. Hell, even the A's. A's are not a good team either. At least these days they're not. So yeah, that's my top five. And right, so today's top 10 list, it is a top 10, not a top five this week, just because there were a lot of guys on this list. And so I had mentioned the other day, when I was talking about Ken Griffey Jr., how I think he is one of the greatest players in baseball to never win a championship. And so I decided, let's do top 10 baseball players who have never won a championship. And there were a lot. This was a really difficult list to rank because it's crazy how many guys are available. So let's go ahead and start with number 10. The main reason why I put him on this list is most notably for his amazing name. And his name is Gaylord Perry. And yeah, I am a child and think the name Gaylord is absolutely fucking hilarious. And that is why he at least made my list. When I saw him, because, you know, I was looking around at players who hadn't actually made the who hadn't won championships but were solid players. He is a good player. But when I saw him on the list, I was like, well, he's making the list just because his name is Gaylord. So what did Gaylord do with his amazing career here now? So Gaylord, he had a long career. He played for 22 seasons from 1962 to 1983, but he played for quite a few teams. He started off with the San Francisco Giants from 1962 to 1971 and played with the Cleveland Indians from 72 to 75, then the Texas Rangers from 75 to 77, San Diego Padres from 78 to 79, played with the Texas Rangers again in 1980, New York Yankees in 1980, the Atlanta Braves in 81, the Seattle Mariners in 82 through 83, and then he rounded out his career with Kansas City in 1983. He had a career record of 314 wins and 265 losses, with 3,534 strikeouts and a 3.11 career ERA. He won the Cy Young Award in 1972 and 1978. He received Cy Young votes in five seasons and appeared in five All-Star games. He was also inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1991. And he was a member of the 1971 San Francisco Giants team that lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates in the National League Championship Series, which is his only postseason appearance. So that's good old Gaylord Perry at number 10 on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship. Then at number 9, I have Mike Piazza. He was the catcher for the most notably the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. But he had he played 16 years from 1992 to 2007. He played for the Dodgers from 1992 to 1998. He played with the Marlins in 1998, the New York Mets from 1998 to 2005, the Padres in 2006, and the Oakland A's in 2007. During his career, he had 2,127 hits and 427 home runs with a .308 career batting average. He was Rookie of the Year in 1993. He appeared in 12 All-Star games and received MVP votes in 9 seasons. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2016. He also played in 5 postseasons, including the 2000 World Series with the New York Mets, but he never won a ring. Then at number 8 on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, Barry Bonds. He played 22 seasons from 1986 to 2007. He played left field, of course. He played with the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1986 to 1992, and then the San Francisco Giants from 1993 to 2007. He broke numerous records along his career. He had 2,935 career hits, a record 762 home runs, a record 2,558 base on balls, and 1,996 RBI. He batted a .298 for his career and won batting titles in 2002 and 2004. He was a 7-time MVP. He received votes in 8 other seasons for MVP. He was also an 14-time All-Star and won 8 Gold Gloves in his career. And that's actually something I've always discussed with Barry Bonds, is that not only was he one of the best hitters of all time, but really out in left field, he was a great player in left field. And that goes to show you right there, 8 Gold Gloves. He also played in 7 postseason games, including the 2002 World Series, in which the Giants lost to the Anaheim Angels. One of the most heartbreaking moments as a Giants fan ever. Luckily, they bounced back a few years later. Well, not a few years, more like 10 years later, to finally win some World Series there. But yeah, that was a very heartbreaking year when they lost to the Angels. So I have Barry Bonds at number 7. Then at number 6 on my top 10 in baseball players who never won a championship, Andre Dawson. He had a 21-year career in which he played outfield. He played with the Montreal Expos from 1976 to 1986, then the Chicago Cubs from 1987 to 1992, the Boston Red Sox from 93 to 94, and then finished his career with the Florida Marlins from 1995 to 1996. He played in a total of 2,627 games with 2,774 hits and 438 home runs with a .279 batting average. He won Rookie of the Year in 1977. He finished in the top 25 in MVP voting 9 times. He won the MVP in 1987 and appeared in 8 All-Star games. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 2010. He reached the postseason, though, only twice in 1981 and 1989. In the 81 season, he was with the Expos and advanced to the National League Championship Series but lost to the Dodgers. And then in 1989, he was with the Cubs and lost the National League Division Series to the San Francisco Giants. Then at number 5 on my top 10 in baseball players who never won a championship, my boy, Ken Griffey Jr., played 22 seasons in the major leagues from 1989 to 2010. He played center field for the Seattle Mariners from 1989 to 1999, the Cincinnati Reds from 2000 to 2008, the Chicago White Sox in 2008, and then rounded out his career with the Seattle Mariners from 2009 to 2010. He had 2,781 hits, 630 home runs, and a career batting average of .284. He finished 3rd in Rookie of the Year voting in 1989 and won the MVP award in 1997. He received MVP votes in 9 other seasons and appeared in 13 All-Star games. He also won 10 Gold Gloves throughout his stellar career. So also not just a hitter, an amazing fielder as well. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2016. He played in 3 postseasons but never advanced further than the American League Championship Series. Then at number 4 on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, Juan Marichal. He was the pitcher. He pitched 16 major league seasons from 1960 to 1975. He played with the San Francisco Giants from 1960 to 1973, the Boston Red Sox in 1974, and unfortunately the Los Angeles Dodgers in 1975. He had a record of 243 243 wins and 142 losses with a 289 ERA and 2,303 strikeouts for his career. He received MVP votes in seven seasons, finished eighth in Cy Young voting in 1971, and appeared in nine All-Star games. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1983. He pitched in the World Series for the San Francisco Giants in 1962, losing to the New York Yankees. And then he also pitched in the National League Championship Series in 1971, but lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Then at number three on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, I have Karl Yastrzemski. He played his entire career with the Boston Red Sox from 1961 to 1983. He played left field and first base. He played all 23 seasons with the Red Sox, like I said. He had 3,419 hits, 452 home runs, and maintained a .285 batting average. He won the MVP in 1967 and received MVP votes in 13 other seasons, and he won seven Gold Glove Awards. He's an 18-time All-Star Game elected. And then he was also inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1989, and he appeared in the postseason twice, including the 1975 World Series. But he played during the reign of the Curse of the Bambino and never won a championship with the Red Sox. So he endured that entire time with the Red Sox, you know, because they used to, like I said, the Curse of the Bambino is basically, you know, they traded, Babe Ruth to the Yankees, and basically they never won another championship up until, God, I can't remember whenever the Red Sox won their championship. Was that like in 2002, 2003? Actually, no, it might have been 05. It was around that time. Regardless, he was obviously had a stellar career, but he played for the Red Sox his entire career and never even really got to win a championship. And he did go to the World Series, but lost in heartbreak fashion, by the way. All right, and then at number three on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, I have Ernie Banks. He played 19 seasons in the major leagues from 1953 to 1971. He also played in the Negro League as well in 1950 and 1953. He played shortstop and first base for the Chicago Cubs from 1953 to 1971. So he also, like Yastrzemski, he was a Cub his entire life and played for the same team the entire way through, and unfortunately never won a championship. And it's funny that I put the two of them back to back. I didn't even realize one was a Red Sox and then the other is a Cub, because the Cubs are also that team that took a million years to, what was it, like 100? It was 100 plus years. I think it ended up being like 101, 102 years. Until they won their next championship, like 10 years ago now? Nah, it may not be 10, maybe more like 8 years. Regardless, they finally won a championship. But Ernie Banks, he was a ride-or-die Cub his entire career. He recorded 2,583 hits with 512 home runs and 1,636 RBIs and batted a career .274. He won back-to-back MVP awards in 1958 and 1959. He received MVP votes in 11 other total seasons while also appearing in 11 All-Star games. And he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1977. But not only did he never get the opportunity to win a World Series, but he never even played in the postseason his entire career from 1953 to 1971. Not even getting the opportunity. So that's pretty crazy in my opinion. All right, and then at number two on my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, Willie McCovey. He played 22 seasons from 1959 to 1980. He was a first baseman, most notably for the San Francisco Giants from 1959 to 1973, then the San Diego Padres from 1974 to 1976, then the Oakland A's in 1976, and then rounded out his career with the Giants from 1977 to 1980. During his career, he collected 2,211 hits, 521 home runs, and 1,555 RBI with a career batting average of .270. He won the Rookie of the Year in 1959 and the MVP in 1969. He received MVP votes in 10 seasons while appearing in 6 All-Star games, and he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1986. He participated in 2 postseasons with the Giants. He lost the World Series in 1962, and then with the Giants in 1971, they lost the National League Championship Series. And then finally, rounding out my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship, number one, Ty Cobb. He played 24 years in the major leagues from 1905 to 1928. He played with the Detroit Tigers center field for with the Tigers from 1905 to 1926, and then the Philadelphia A's from 1927 to 1928. He is literally one of the most decorated baseball players of all time. He's actually like the first superstar baseball player of all time, and he never won shit, which is crazy because he is just an amazing baseball player. He had 4,189 career hits with a 366 career batting average. Yeah, 366 career batting average. He was the league MVP in 1911. First of four consecutive seasons, he received votes for the award. He was inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1936. If I recall, he was actually one of the first players ever inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He played in three straight World Series from 1907 to 1909, but unfortunately was unable to get a championship in any one of those three appearances. So that is my top 10 baseball players who never won a championship. I think those are all great, stellar players, and unfortunately, they never got the opportunity to win one. But that's the way the way shit goes. You know, sometimes you don't win. But they all had amazing careers, and the majority of them are Hall of Famers. And if they're not in the Hall of Fame, kind of like Barry Bonds, who's not in the Hall of Fame, it's absolute bullshit. Because Mike Piazza, there was also questions around him using steroids, and he's inducted into the Hall of Fame. So just pointing that shit out. But I won't go on a rant on the Baseball Hall of Fame. We all know how I feel about the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I think they will give me plenty of opportunities over the years to rant on how stupid they are with their voting process. But I digress. All right. And I have mentioned a few times on my show that I absolutely can't stand the Baseball Writers of America, the assholes who get to induct baseball players into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The reason why I hate them is because, they're exclusive assholes, who probably sip on fucking tea with their goddamn pinkies out and talk like this and, oh, you are not allowed into our exclusive baseball club, even though we never even played, we never picked up a bat, we never put on a glove, we never threw a ball, we never even managed a game, but we are the high and mighty who get to vote in the baseball players. And they are high and mighty. They may not talk like I just was making fun of them like I just was with that voice. But they're a bunch of fucking assholes for the most part. Not all of them. Not all of them are fucking assholes. But it's so annoying how finicky they are with how they let certain players in and how they don't let certain players in. They're just, they don't make sense. And you can tell that they use vendettas from back in the day, because not all players, not all athletes are nice to the media, and that hurts their widow feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand they have obligations to the media. They should speak to the media after games. If you are a star player, you do owe the media a lot more than the backup. But at the end of the day, that is a part of their job, but not a part of their job is to be nice to you. They can answer the questions however the fuck they want. And some of the guys on my list, especially at number five, I know for sure, was not media friendly. And you could tell that they use a lot of that against some of these guys. Now, there's a couple more reasons why this top five that I'm going to rattle off on why these guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. But most of them, when I look at it, they're not in the Hall of Fame because the media didn't like them, or there was some little vendetta against the media. That's just how it is. And it's fucking annoying that a bunch of idiots who literally just write about sports. I mean, I'm as fucking qualified to vote for Hall of Fame if these motherfuckers are. I at least watch the game, and I can watch it unbiasedly, too. If you want me to fucking, like, break shit down and take complete bias, I mean, I've put the fucking Dodgers in my top 10 power rankings a lot this season. And I hate the Dodgers, you know that? But if they're good, I can't deny that they're good. And I'm not going to deny players being good just because I don't like their team or I don't like their attitude or whatever the fuck. But it's ridiculous that these baseball writers of America are allowed to be the fucking gatekeepers to the Hall of Fame when it's like, you assholes didn't play the fucking game. How do you know what the hell is going on? Who qualifies you just because you watched it? No, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any media members who vote on it, but there should be a different group of people, meaning I think guys who are inducted into the Hall of Fame should have a chance at maybe joining some type of voting board to at least balance it out. Because at least if you played the game, I can look at you and go, you know what it took. You know what it was like to get in that weight room. You know what it was like to go to training camps. You knew what it was like to go to spring training. You knew what it was like to go through an entire season. You know what it's like to get injured. You know the entire motherfucking process. That's who I want to hear from. I don't give two shits and a fuck about the media members and their fucking whiny ass, oh my God, Barry Bonds didn't answer me the question right. So anyways, this week's top five list are my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. And these are five who, looks like, I think three for sure, they're not eligible at all anymore because they went past the almighty marker. And by the way, with Hall of Fames, yes, there should be criteria. You shouldn't let everybody in. Yes, you should have criteria. But the Baseball Hall of Fame, they're fucking whack. Their criteria is, we're on our period today, and this is how the fuck I'm voting. That's their fucking criteria. And they make up the dumbest fucking reasoning why they don't put people in. So these are five players who are not in. Two of them, they have not reached their ineligibility years yet. I think they have a year or two left of eligibility, but I don't think they're going to get in just because you could tell by the motherfuckers with their pinkies out and sipping their tea like they're the greatest motherfuckers on earth. You know they ain't letting them in. So let's go ahead and start off with the top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. Starting off with number five, Barry Bonds, left fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1986 to 1992 and the San Francisco Giants from 1993 to 2007. The main reason why they don't want to put Barry Bonds in, or the reason why they say so, is because of the whole steroid scandal. Basically, Barry Bonds was like the face of the steroid scandal, if you will. There were a lot of players, coaches. Hell, when you look back on baseball in the steroid era, the reason why it's called the steroid era is because not just like three guys were doing steroids and cheating. It's like, no, like the majority of the players were doing steroids. The majority of their coaches knew it. The majority of their managers knew it. The majority of the owners knew it. The fucking commissioner of the league knew it. Everybody in baseball fucking knew it. And that's why it's ridiculous. I mean, for Christ's sake, Bud Selig was the commissioner of baseball at the time. And that motherfucker's in the Hall of Fame. Okay? If he's in the Hall of Fame, tell me why Barry Bonds ain't in the Hall of Fame. Because guess what? Even before Barry Bonds started doing steroids, he was a Hall of Fame player. He was a killer in the outfield, winning gold gloves, and he was still hitting home runs. He just got bigger. And he was hitting home runs at a higher rate. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to act like steroids didn't help him. But guess what? They fucking helped everybody else along the way. And it's just ridiculous, too, because they have let guys into the Hall of Fame who have been accused of steroids, just not at the level that Barry Bonds was. And they are currently in the Hall of Fame, and I guarantee you some more will get inducted in along the way. And I'm not saying they don't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm just merely pointing out, you don't get to sit here and tell me that fucking David Ortiz, who was accused of doing steroids, that motherfucker gets to go into the Hall of Fame, and he was a Hall of Fame player, in my opinion. But you telling me Barry Bonds don't get to go in the Hall of Fame and David Ortiz does? Suck my motherfucking dick. Listen to these stats from Barry fucking Bonds, okay? His career batting average was a .298. He hit 762 career home runs, 2,935 hits, 1,996 RBIs, and 514 stolen bases. He's a 14-time All-Star, a 7-time NL MVP, 7-time. Three of those he won in 1990, 1992, and 1993 before he started doing steroids, by the way. 8-time Gold Glove Award winner, 12-time Silver Slug Award winner, 3-time NL Hank Aaron Award winner, 2-time NL batting champion, 2-time NL home run leader, an NL RBI leader, and luckily he has had his number, and the San Francisco Giants have been given him, they retired his number and have been giving him his dues, as they should. A couple of MLB records that Barry Bonds owns, by the way, career home runs with 762, home runs in a single season with 73, career bases on balls, 2,558, bases on balls in a single season, 232, 609 on base percentage in a single season, and 863 slugging percentage in a single season. You can't tell me Barry Bonds doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, even with the steroids bullshit. Go fuck yourself that Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. He still has like a year or two of eligibility, but the way these stupid morons have been voting, they ain't letting Barry Bonds in. And even Barry's been like, yeah, I kind of have given up the fucking hope of getting into the Hall of Fame, which is bullshit if you ask me. And like I said, the media, they actually didn't like Barry Bonds because Barry Bonds, he would give them rude answers. And you know what? Grow up. So what? You had to deal with Barry Bonds being mean to you? Shut the fuck up. Let the motherfucker in the Hall of Fame. He deserves it. All right. Number 4 on my top 5 baseball players not in the Hall of Fame is Thurman Munson. It was a catcher for the New York Yankees from 1969 to 1979. So I wasn't really that familiar with him. I did know that he died in the middle of the 1979 season. He actually died in a plane crash. He flew planes and he was flying a plane and I think it clipped a tree. He was too low and he actually broke his back and then he actually died in a fire that started because of the plane crash. But when I went, because I noticed, so I when I was doing research on what players aren't in the Hall of Fame, his name popped up and I looked at his stats and I was like, wait a second. This guy isn't in the Hall of Fame, and I have no idea why. Are the Hall of Fame, are the Baseball Writers of America holding it against him because he fucking died in a plane crash? Is that why they won't let him in? He had a 10-year career. And let me rattle off his career here. He had a career batting average of .292, hit 113 home runs and 701 RBIs. He's a 7-time All-Star, a 2-time World Series champion in 1977 and 1978. Like, that's the shit. That's the year before he died. He was the AL MVP in 1976, AL Rookie of the Year 1970, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner. He was the New York Yankees captain from 1976 to 1979 when he fucking died. And of course, the Yankees, they retired his number and he's in Monument Park as an honoree. But looking at those stats, I couldn't believe that Thurman Munson's not in the Hall of Fame, and so I don't know if it's because the media had issues with him or whatever, but are they really holding a plane crash against the guy? Because I wouldn't put it past those fucking pieces of shit, but I couldn't believe that this guy wasn't in the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, man, those are some really good stats. I mean, he won the championships. He was the freaking captain of the Yankees, none other. You know, they were obviously a dynasty at that time. And, wow, yeah, I couldn't believe it. But, hey, that's the Baseball Writers of America for you. Bunch of fucks. All right, moving on to number 3. Shoeless Joe Jackson. He was an outfielder. He played for the Philadelphia A's from 1908 to 1909. Then the Cleveland Indians from 1910 to 1915. And then most famously for the Chicago White Sox in 1915 to 1920. And I say most famous because you've probably heard of it. It's called the Black Sox scandal. And basically, that last World Series, what, in 1920, a bunch of White Sox players, they took some money to throw the World Series. And basically, I went and did research on this. I'd never really, like, gone to look up anything about this. I just knew his name appeared in the Black Sox scandal, and I just knew who Shoeless Joe Jackson was just because he, at the time, was the greatest baseball player at that time. He was dominating. He just was electric. He was a spectacular baseball player, at least from what I could tell by reading about him and his statistics. Basically, he got drawn into this Black Sox scandal, but unfortunately, he didn't participate. As a matter of fact, what happened was is he was offered $5,000 to throw the World Series, and he said no. He did not take the money. But unfortunately, a few of his teammates did. And as the scandal started to unfold, they threw him under the bus. And just because the way things were going, they just ended up banning all the players, including Shoeless Joe Jackson. And he was banned from baseball completely, including from the Hall of Fame. So that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. But it's pathetic that he's not in the Hall of Fame because he actually didn't commit the crime that he was accused of. He actually, he rejected it. He rejected it. And at that time, in the early 1900s, $5,000 was a lot of motherfucking money. I believe I read that it was like double his salary. So he actually gave a fuck about baseball. He was a great baseball player. He was the face of baseball at the time. And here are his career statistics. His career batting average was a .356. He had 1,772 hits, 54 home runs, and 785 RBIs. He won a World Series in 1917, and then the 1919 World Series he went to, but that was the scandal season. And one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't believe he was a part of it is because here are his statistics from the World Series that he was supposed to throw. Let me know if you think these are statistics of a person who wants to lose this fucking World Series. Let's see, he had 12 base hits, which was a series record, by the way. Not broken until 1964. He led both teams with a .375 batting average. He committed no errors and threw a runner out at the plate. Even the way he played proved that he wasn't a part of the Black Sox scandal. And the Hall of Famers, of course, since they're staunch-ass motherfuckers with a stick up their motherfucking ass, they ain't gonna let one of the most legendary baseball players of all time, who basically shaped baseball. At that time, it was like him and Ty Cobb, man. So, yeah, it's pathetic that Shoeless Joe Jackson isn't in. Then at number two on my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame, Roger Clemens, starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox from 1984 to 1996, with the Toronto Blue Jays from 1997 to 1998, the New York Yankees from 1999 to 2003, the Houston Astros from 2004 to 2006, the New York Yankees again in 2007. The main reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame is, of course, is the same reason why Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame, is he was the face of the steroids era for pitchers. But unfortunately, same thing with Barry, is Roger's career was fucking great before he started taking steroids as well. By the way, he played for my Texas Longhorns. He also had a great career with them, too. So it's bullshit that he's not in the Hall of Fame. He had a stellar career. He went to World Series with the Yankees and the Astros as well. The Astros, as a matter of fucking fact, were a garbage team when he signed with them. He is like what started what the Astros are today. The Astros were not a good team for quite some time. And then Clemens was getting towards the end of his career. And he's a Texas boy, and he wanted to play for the Astros, and he wanted to play in Texas. So he ended up signing with the Astros, and they were a garbage fucking team when he signed with them. And then they ended up going to the World Series. They did lose. I can't recall who they lost to off the top of my head, but they did lose that World Series. But they went to the World Series, and I remember when they went to that World Series, I was like, holy shit, Roger Clemens just took the shitty-ass Astros to the World Series. Because growing up, the Astros weren't a good team. And up until Roger Clemens signing with them, they weren't a good team. And now they've continued to basically be a really good team ever since then. And he took them to a World Series, for Christ's sake. And he was one of the main reasons why they went to the World Series that year. Obviously, he wasn't the only reason, but he was pitching out of his mind that year. But anyways, here are Roger Clemens' his career statistics. He had a win-loss record of 354 wins, 184 losses. He had a career 3.12 ERA with 4,672 strikeouts. And just so y'all know, like for me personally, Roger Clemens like dominated basically when I started watching baseball when I was like a kid until he retired. He was the most dominating pitcher. That's why it's ridiculous he is not in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, he changed franchises he went to as well. He would put them over the top. I mean, like I said, he took the Astros, a garbage can team, to the World Series like a year or two after he signed with them. But here are some more of his statistics. He's an 11-time All-Star, a 2-time World Series champion in 99 and 2000 with the Yankees, 7-time Cy Young Award winner. By the way, 1986, 1987, 1991, 1997, and 98, I would say those are pre-steroid era years. The 97, 98 ones, they might be steroid era. It's not 100% sure. I know definitely his 01 and 04, those are steroid era. But if you look at it, three of those for sure are pre-steroid era for him. But that's 7-time Cy Young Award winner. 7 times he was the best overall pitcher in the league. 7, okay? Then he was the AL MVP. AL MVP. He was the MVP. Pitchers don't get the MVP, but he did in 1986 when he was with the Boston Red Sox. He's a 2-time Triple Crown winner in 1997 and 1998. He's 4-time MLB wins leader. He's the 7-time ERA leader, 5-time AL strikeout leader, and he has a Major League Baseball record of 20 strikeouts in a 9-inning game. He did it twice. So enlighten me. How is Roger Clemens not in the Hall of Fame? That dude was one of the best fucking pitchers, and yes, he was also not too nice to the media. At times, he actually wasn't too horrible. It was more during the steroid era he was an asshole, but maybe it's because he was sick of dealing with you stuck-up motherfucking baseball writers of America. And now, number one. Now, my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. This, I feel like, should be in everybody's number one because it's ridiculous that Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. He actually played every single position in baseball. Although he was, I believe, most known for first base, I didn't get to see his career, but I can't recall. But regardless, he is a player who has played every single position in the league at some point during his pro career. That is fucking nuts. But he played with the Cincinnati Reds from 1963 to 1978, the Philadelphia Phillies from 1979 to 1983, the Montreal Expos in 1984. He went back to Cincinnati in 1984 through 1986. And then he became a manager and was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds from 1984 to 1989. And we all know why he is not in the Hall of Fame. It's because he was caught gambling. When he was a manager, by the way, not when he was a player, which is, it's ridiculous. I get it. If you're a player or a manager or you own a team or whatever, the rules are you shouldn't be gambling. And the reasons are obvious. But he got caught gambling as a manager. He didn't. Now, there's rumors he did it while he was a player, but we don't have proof of that. And quite frankly, even if we did, it doesn't fucking matter. Because this is literally one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Like I just said, he has played every position, so that alone makes him spectacular. But let's read off some of Pete Rose's career statistics here, shall we? He has a career batting average of 303, 4,256 hits, 160 home runs, 1,314 RBIs, and his managerial record, it was okay. He was 412 wins with 373 losses of a 525 winning percentage. He's a 17-time All-Star, a 3-time World Series champ in 75, 76, and 80. He won the NL MVP in 1973. He won the World Series MVP in 1975. He was the NL Rookie of the Year in 1963. 2-time Gold Glove winner, award winner, Silver Slug award winner, Roberto Clemente award winner, 3-time NL batting champion. Luckily, the Cincinnati Reds have retired his number and let him know that he matters. But, you know, of course, in Major League Baseball, the Baseball Writers of America, they ain't gonna let you into the Hall of Fame because, God forbid, you gamble during your managerial career. By the way, he owns Major League Baseball records of career hits for 4,256, career singles, 3,215, career games played, 3,562, career at-bats of 14,053, and career plate appearances of 15,890. This dude was an all-around baseball player. As a matter of fact, he was baseball. Like, come the fuck on. All five of these dudes, from Barry Bonds to Thurman Munson to Shoeless Joe Jackson to Roger Clemens to Pete Rose, and quite frankly, to a lot of other motherfuckers I didn't even put on the list. I could have made this a top 10, but I really only wanted to make it a top 5. But it's ridiculous that those five guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. They should most certainly be in the Hall of Fame. And these Baseball Writers of America need to get the fuck over themselves. Unfortunately, I know they won't get over themselves. As a matter of fact, they probably love rants like these because it makes them feel super fucking important. But as a baseball fan and as a person, especially with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, I watched both of their careers. They were two of the most dominating players at their positions. They were game changers for the teams they were on, especially Roger Clemens, for Christ's sake. And it's just ridiculous that all five of those guys, they are baseball. They are spectacular baseball players. They have all the fucking credentials. And you mean to tell me the Baseball Writers of America can't get them in? You guys are ridiculous. Fuck off. I'm sure this will not be the last rant against the Baseball Writers of America. I'm sure I'm going to rant about them every single fucking year. I wouldn't be shocked if I do. But yeah, I thought it was a good list that I could put out there. So yeah, that's my top 5 for the week. Top 5 baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. Number 5, Barry Bonds. Number 4, Thurman Munson. Number 3, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Number 2, Roger Clemens. And number 1, Pete Rose.